Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Thank you. I appreciate that a lot. I missed you guys too. In fact, I was supposed to be ending my vacation today. We're writing a book, we're doing all this stuff, and it just so happened that Monday or Tuesday, I started getting this nagging thought that I was supposed to preach today. And I thought, but I'm scheduled to be off. We got another speaker coming in. And it just kept nagging me. And one of those predominating thoughts, see, I've said it many times before, to know normal, you have to see normal. Jesus is my life, our life. I mean, every week we're listening, we're hearing, we're waiting, we're asking, and he's always appearing. I talk about to know normal, you have to see normal. Pastor Tom wrote me the other day, and I was going to show the video, but I didn't have time today. But he said that he was ready for work, fixing to leave for work, and there was a knock at the door, and a guy that worked for a drain company or whatever, some kind of plumbing company, he knocked the door, and he says, Pastor Tom, you told me 2 years ago you'd baptize me. Can you baptize me? And Tom goes, I'm ready for work, you know. Tom said, yeah, I'll baptize you. And he said, I went and changed out of my clothes, my board shorts on, took him back to the pool and baptized him, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And he left. And I said, that is so on the spot. But I said, I would have loved to have been the neighbors. Here's a guy who works for a plumbing company, comes, knocks door, walks out drenching, wet, gets in his truck and leaves. They think, boy, what kind of league do they have, you know? But anyway, I started getting this thought that I was supposed to speak. And so then I finally talked to who was scheduled to speak today, and I said, are you ready for Sunday? They said, oh man, I didn't put it on my calendar. Oh, I'm so sorry. I said, don't be sorry. I'm supposed to preach. You're not supposed to. I am. That's a confirmation. And I told Tom about it. Tom says, man, this week I got up with this crazy feeling in prayer that Pastor Ron's supposed to be here. And I said, God, confirm it to him. Let him know he's supposed to be here. And Tom had no clue. So I'm here. I'm supposed to be here. And the message I'm speaking, you're supposed to hear. So now, before I begin today, someone asked me a question a while back. And they said, VBF doesn't move in the gifts of the Spirit, do you? Oh, yeah, we do. We thrive on the gifts of the Spirit here. Now, without doing a teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, let me just say it this way. Very often during our sermons, the Holy Spirit will highlight a certain area of your life, and he'll match up something that we are saying with something you're going through. That's a gift of the Spirit. Receive that. Don't fight that. Now, just because it's not couched in a verily, verily saith the Lord, that doesn't mean anything. When God moves through us to highlight some area of your life and to speak into it, it won't blindside you. It'll be already something that you've been hearing over and over again. It'll just be like the icing on the cake. And you go, that's for me. Remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus said, wasn't our heart burning in us when he spoke to us? You will know. Now, I believe it's a sign of spiritual immaturity to have all the pomp and circumstances. Oh, Lord Jesus, come, while the organ's playing. Oh, Jesus, come, Jesus, come. Hey, when you showed up here, Jesus came. He's got nowhere to come from. He's here in us. And when we show up, when we walk out on this stage, Jesus is here, and the gifts of the Spirit are flowing and they are moving. Now, I mean, I tell you story after story of things that happen when someone's up here speaking and God speaks through them and something spontaneously happens out there, someone's healed, whatever. Those are all gifts of the Spirit. Now, For a while, we were doing something called Afterglow on Sunday nights, and I'm thinking about bringing it back on Sunday nights. And that was just a time where at the end of the service, we gave 10 or 15 minutes, and we said, just Jesus come. Do you want to say anything more than what you've already said? And we just opened our mind up to him. When we were doing this Afterglow, you know, I was, man, in prayer all Sunday afternoon. God, what do you want to say? What do you want to say? What do you want to say? And you might have heard this story, but I'm repeating it because I just spoke in Texas 2 weeks ago, and this person was with us. But I was on my way on Truxton, and you heard this story, but about, a few months ago, and God spoke to me so real and said, I have a message for Arnie. And I go, Arnie? Can it be Sally or Peter or John or Mike? Arnie? God, I don't know of a living soul named Arnie. I don't know of anybody by that name. Nevertheless, I told my wife, I said, God, she said, oh, that's crazy, Ron. I said, no, he said I got a message for Arnie. So I came that night, and at the end, I said, okay, I've got a special message for Arnie. And Arnie Kirschman was here his first Sunday night here. And he was in the back with his son. He looked at me, he says, did he just say my name? He said, yeah. And he says, after he told me, Arnie said, you know what? He said, I thought it was a setup. I thought for sure you set me up. Somebody set me up. There's no way that God would have known my name. And that was his first Sunday night here. And now he's a big part of our church. Big part. So yeah, the gifts do move. I was back in Texas speaking this week, and I have a leader back there that I know. I know the pastor and some leaders anyway. There's a leader that has a very wonderful wife. And so this lady, since I met her, she's been on my heart a lot. And I saw her at church when I was speaking, and I said, hey, you going to lunch with us today because God wants you there. I said, you know, I brag on you so much. I tell my daughter, I said, you got to meet this leader's wife back in Texas. You'd be best friends with her. She's like, man, she highlights this leader so well, makes him look good. I mean, you're just so cool. And I went on and on. We got the restaurant, and I said, man, I'm so glad you're here. You're just a special person. And I kept going on and on. And she started crying. She said, I've been going through something for months that I'm unworthy, that I'm not good. And she just started bawling and said, God told me to come here today at lunch and listen to what Pastor Ron says. Now, there is no verily, 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 I saith unto thee. Play the organ real quick, okay? None of this stuff. God come, okay? Thus saith the Lord, verily, verily. There wasn't any of that. It was just a stirring inside. And I just kept saying, you are so needed, and you're so beautiful inside and out, and this guy's so lucky to have. And I didn't know what I was saying. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the way God moves. And it doesn't have to have the pomp and circumstances. Now, let me remind you of an Old Testament story that's going to help us get to where we're going this morning, okay? It's going to serve as a springboard. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, Saul is chosen to be the first king of Israel. And he becomes king. God sends a very godly prophet by the name of Samuel to ordain him as king. But after a while, God rejects Saul because he's being disobedient to God. God says, I can't use the dude anymore. I can't. I've got to find a new king. He's not doing what I want him to do. Now, with that in mind, let's look at 1 Samuel 15, 10, and 11. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I regret that I made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my commands. And Samuel was distressed, and he cried out to the Lord all night long. Samuel was connected to Saul. He didn't like what God was saying. Look at 1 Samuel 16:1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long are you going to grieve over this guy? Since I've rejected him from being king over Israel, fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons. He says, how long are you going to be down about this? I told you what I'm doing. Get over it. Get over it. And then 1 Samuel 15:12, the first part, Samuel rose early in the morning to meet God. Now, I want to stop there for a second. You need to see that this is a very powerful characteristic of mature believers. And that is, we see a man of God here in Samuel who wept over what God told him, But he courageously did it anyway. Didn't want to do it, but he did it. A man who refused to sacrifice the favor of God for the friendship of the world. He refused. A man who wouldn't allow himself to be governed by his emotions, but only by what God was saying to him. Humble enough to care, holy enough to act. This is a trait of spiritual maturity. You almost have to have an emotional switch on your head that you can flick off. There have been times in my ministry God said, that person has to go. They can't be here anymore. And I love that particular person he says that about. And I go to them and I want to sit there and cry and I'm all emotional. But I just have to go, this is what God said. You can't be here anymore. And I have to keep telling myself, don't even think about it. If they love Jesus, Romans 8:28 will work for them. God caused all things to work together for good. And you just have to know, this is what God says. God has told me before to get rid of some very talented people. He said, they got to go, they got to go. They got sin in their life, they got to go. I've warned them and warned them, and I have to go. And I love these people. So again, the characteristic is a mature believer is someone who's humble enough to care, but holy enough to act. Amen. They do what they have to do. Marriage, I had someone talking to me the other day and their spouse had done some baddest stuff probably for a divorce, whatever, and bless your heart, I love the women of Valley, but so many of you are so weak. I get it all the time. I told you, these husbands were drinking and fornicating and getting people pregnant, and some of you don't have the power to draw a line and say, hey, no more. You either decide you want to be with me or not, but you're not doing this anymore. And if you do, I'll pray God kills you, man. Then I'll really be set free. I'm not messing with it. Any men here afraid of your wife? I'm not messing around with this lady. I'm a Christian. I love God first, but still, I'm not going to stretch my luck. And so anyway, this lady said, I drew a line. I turned off there. I said, hey, you know, get your act together, buddy. Get it together. So we have to do that. Now, Samuel goes to Saul and says, you're through. God's rejected you. But it doesn't look like God's rejected him. Because the next few chapters, life goes on. He's still king. He still looks like being blessed. He's still winning wars, all this stuff. But nevertheless, when God says something's going to be a certain way, count on it. It's going to be that way. God's never in a rush. If God says he's going to judge you if you don't straighten up, he's going to judge you. It's going to happen. But if God says he's going to bless you, it's going to happen. You're going to get blessed. Don't look at the clock. God, you know, he's pretty serious when he says something's going to happen, and it does eventually happen. Now, in chapter 16, Samuel's told to go to Bethlehem to choose the next king of Israel. But he has to go undercover for the safety of himself and David, who's to be the king. Because Samuel goes to God and he says, you're telling me to go anoint another king. Do you understand that Saul's going to kill me? Do you understand that? God says, yeah, you're right. He will kill you. That's right. He says, that's why we're going to have to do this incognito. We're going to have to do it in a different way. Now, God had the power. He could have stopped Saul. But he said, no, we got to operate the laws of nature here. Let's do it a little differently. I just want you to go to the house of Jesse and say you're coming to sacrifice, which you will, and then anoint the Jesse's son, the one that I tell you to anoint. You anoint him and speak positive things to him. You don't have to say anything about a kingdom, about a new king. You don't have to say any of that stuff. Just do what I'm telling you to do. And again, we go back to the connecting of the seed. Just go show up, and then I'll guide you from there. But you're not going to get in trouble because I'm not going to make you blow the cover that I'm having you to go under. And so what does he do? He goes and undercover and sacrifices and blesses David. Now, stop here. There's another point I want you to see. I've been preaching this forever. Don't miss this. A lot of you, because you come out of Pentecostal backgrounds, you don't understand. God doesn't go around doing miracles all the time. Occasionally he does. God doesn't go around, and when you pray for cancer, he causes it to drop off in 3 days. He causes the cancer to go away. He doesn't do that very often. The cancer just disappears. You got to pray for it, disappears. It can happen, but not very often. He doesn't just automatically take you out of danger's way. You need money, and all of a sudden you find $5,000 in your mailbox that didn't belong there, you know. That's the way some Christians believe. God usually uses a very natural process. The Spirit starts speaking to us. Did you see in our devotions just a few days ago, King Hezekiah has Isaiah make a trip to his house, and Isaiah comes in and says, King Hezekiah, I have a message from God for you. Get your house in order because you're going to die and not live. And immediately, King Hezekiah immediately goes into his bedroom and starts crying and says, God, you know I've lived my life totally for you. I haven't compromised. I've been sincere. Oh, God, I don't want to die. And Isaiah doesn't even make it past the courtyard until God says, go back. Tell him something different. I'm giving him 15 more years. I'm going to heal him and give him 15 more years. And by the way, I said I'm going to heal him, but tell him to take a cake of figs and lay it on the cancer. And the cancer will go away. Now, God could have just spoke it and it would have happened. I mean, God has all power, but normally in this life, he works through a process of logical events. The Spirit guides us and leads us. See, just because the doctor looks at you and says, you have cancer, and there's no cure for it, doesn't mean there's not a cure for it. It just means that man hasn't found the cure yet. And that's all it means. God knows how to cure things. When I got leukemia, they said, leukemia is like scurvy. You don't have any vitamin C in your body. And I took 80,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day. God had led me on a healing journey. So you need to see this, that God works through his Spirit. That's why I wrote the book, Conspiracy of Silence. I said, there's a conspiracy to silence the voice of God in your life, because the voice of God will heal you. The voice of God will guide you on a healing journey, on and on and on and on. Now, let me get to my subject this morning. Samuel goes under the radar, and he's supposed to anoint the next king of Israel, but they don't know what's going on. And so Jesse parades all of his sons before him, and these are big old strapping guys, muscular, big. And Samuel goes, I'm sure that's the guy. Look at him. And God says, no, I don't do things that way. I look at the heart. I don't look at the outside appearance. And so all the boys go before him, and God said, this guy isn't it. And finally Samuel says, hey, is there any more boys? And he said, I got a little runt out on the hillside that's watching the sheep, so bring him in here. And he anoints him, and I don't know what he says, but I'm sure it's something like this, like, God has a calling for your life, son. And he takes a flask of oil and pours it over him and said, you are special. Now what did he do right there? He planted a seed. He gave God something to work with. And then he just left and went his way. I did what I was supposed to do. Rest is up to God. Now, I don't think David ever forgot this moment in his life. 1 Samuel 16:13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily. Okay, say with me, mightily. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David. From that day forward. And Samuel, he left, did his job. Holy Spirit, I planted the seed. Take over and do what you have to do. Now, we're told in the Bible that one person, God uses one person to plant a seed, and he'll use others to water it. So now God starts watering the seed. Look what Jonathan says in 1 Samuel 23:17. David already knows I'm gonna be something special. I kind of don't know what it is yet. Thus, Jonathan said to him, do not be afraid, because the hand of Saul, my father, will not find you, and you're going to be the king over Israel, and I'll be right next to you. My father's even starting to know that too. So now he's watering the seeds. You are special. You're going to be the king of Israel. And then Abigail, 1 Samuel 25, she meets David and bows down and says, please forgive the transgression of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil will not be found in you all your days. Should anyone rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, then the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God, but the lives of your enemies he will sling out as from the hollow of a sling. And when the Lord does for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and appoints you ruler over Israel. So see, the seed's been planted and now it's being watered. It's been being watered. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:6. It says, I planted, Paul said, Apollos watered, but it was God that's causing the growth. But God couldn't cause the growth if somebody didn't plant, and if somebody didn't water, God would have a hard time with the growth. You and I aren't supposed to go out and save the world. We're supposed to go out and plant seeds and water them. Now, I'm sure that this seed that was planted in David gave him courage and endurance through all the trials he was going to have to go through. I've had a lot of seeds planted in my heart that came through godly people. And those seeds are still predicting my future. I had a girl named Gail Wilson. I'll never forget this lady. This was decades ago. She came to me, and you might misunderstand what I'm going to say, but for lack of thinking it through, I'm just going to say it. But she came to me one day and says, thus saith the Lord, there's no man available to train you, but God said, I'm going to train you in my ways myself, but then you shall train every other young man under you. And that's what we're doing right now. We're training young men. God showed me how to deliver people from evil spirits. He taught me. He took me by the hand. And through that, I made a lot of mistakes, but I can train other young men now. So I want to finish talking to you about planting seeds. We have about 14 minutes left or 13. This sermon was ordained by God. On vacation, I listed a bunch of things I wanted to preach on when I came back. And just one of those 15 things was planting seeds. And so Monday, when I found out I was going to be speaking on Sunday, I go, God, you know, I'm probably going to speak on planting seeds. That's what I'm going to do. And then I thought, nah, I got 14 other sermons. So I started listing all these sermons, and I kept thinking, I need to plant seeds, and it kept coming back. Why does this keep coming back? And I told everybody, I'm probably going to preach on planting seeds Sunday. And then I thought, no, I'm going to go through these other sermons. So I'm going through other 14 sermons. I'm thinking, what do I do? I don't want to be frustrated this week. I want to know ahead of time. And so I went to God on Thursday, and I said, God, I've got to know what I'm supposed to preach on. I've got to know. I don't know why I just thought planting seeds, but that obviously might not be from you. I've got to know. 10 minutes. Maybe 15 at the max, after I went and spent a time in prayer saying, God, show me what I'm going to speak on, the same lady that texted me a while back, remember the story when I said, I'm going to die, and she wrote me that text, why die for your time? Crazy. I mean, this lady had a connection to God for me. Same lady wrote me a text 15 minutes afterwards, and here's what she wrote. She said, I had a vision and a dream of you last night. You look like a farmer. You had your hat on, your pitchfork, and you were sweating. Galatians 6 and 7, do not be deceived, for whatever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. Let me encourage you with what God's told me to tell you. Keep sowing the seed that God gives you, and he'll make it grow. The prayer was answered quickly. I mean, there's no way that's a coincidence. Come on, there's no way. That's a light God story, but still a God story. Now, that confirms so many things in me. Number one, what I was supposed to preach on today. But number two, in the Bible, a spiritual seed is any act or deed or thought or prayer that God gives you for the progression of the kingdom of God. That's what a seed is. Now, not only did it confirm my sermon today, but we're scattering seed in Tehachapi. In 2 weeks, we're starting a church up there. Yeah, you didn't know that. Yeah, that came about quick. So we're starting a church in Tehachapi, so we won't drive down. Right now, today, there's some people over the Northwest. We have live worship there, and we're also broadcasting the sermon. And you can actually go there for a soft opening if you want, but we're not officially opening until Back to Church Sunday in September. But we're still going to get the kinks out, so we're working over there. And so we're scattering this seed, and I'm just so nervous going, God, this is all costing money, and we're a poor church. We don't have a lot of money. But I just keep casting it to Tehachapi and over in Northwest. And we've got to get the gospel out. We've got to get it to everybody. We've got to broaden our perspective here. But we don't have any money. But what did God say through that dream? He says, just keep on doing it. And he says, I'll bless it. And that's what he said. Now, look at these verses right here. Look at Psalms 126:6. It says, He who goes to and fro weeping, and that's what I'm doing. We're casting seeds and attaching, we're buying some stuff, and we're opening mouth voice, we get all these new bills and stuff. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. We're almost spoiled. God has really blessed everything we touch through his grace. And look at this verse, James 5 and 7. It says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until he gets the early and late rains. And then 2 Corinthians 9, 10, and 11. Now he who supplies the seed to the sower. I know we've talked about this verse many times, but God supplies the seed to the sower. Okay, so he's going to give you the word. He's going to give you the prayer. He's going to give you the extra money. He's going to give that to you, but it's given to you to sow in the kingdom and bread for food. He's going to supply your seed, and he'll multiply your seed for sowing, if that's your purpose, and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. We've read those verses a whole lot lately. Now, when we get saved, we get this big bag of seeds. And there's two things I want you to see about the seeds that we're given, the spiritual seeds that we're supposed to cast. Number one, they're supplied by God. Number two, they're to be used for the kingdom of God. When God gives you extra finances, that's probably to be sowed into the kingdom. At least a part of it. Not all of it. Some of it might be for you. When God gives you a word, an extra prayer, gives you, that's to be sowed in the kingdom. And when you sow it, whatever you sow, you get more of that back. That's what's really cool. I love serving God. Now, an extra thought that comes out of nowhere is to be sowed usually. And I can go on that. Bless you. So often, you tell me, I want to see God move. God needs to save my child. God needs to change the desires of my husband and make him not want to drink. God needs to change the hearts of my ex-spouse. He needs to change the hearts of my boss. God needs to save, change, needs to influence, all this stuff. But you don't give him anything to work with. You got to plant some seeds so he has something to bless. That's the way the kingdom of God works. Dave Wilkerson, when he went to New York and he was ministering to the gangsters, Nicky Cruz was a huge gangster. And David went to him over and over again and said, Nicky, Jesus loves you. Nicky, God sent me to New York because Jesus loves you. And Nicky Cruz, when he tells the testimony, he said, at night I couldn't even sleep. I was putting a pillow over my head because all I heard was, Nicky, Jesus loves you. Nicky, Jesus loves you. Nicky, Jesus loves you. But see, he planted a seed and gave God something to anoint and work with. You're not planting seeds. If I had another saved child, I'd go to them and say, listen to me right now. I'm going to pray that you give your life to Jesus. And I will never stop praying until you do because you're special. I'd tell him that every time I saw him. I'd plant a seed. I'd say, God, now you take that seed and you make it happen. Haunt him with that seed and taunt him with that seed. Cause that seed to be in their mind totally, totally. We hear testimonials of people all the time. You know what? My grandmother once told me and it never left me. My mama always said, my dad said something that I'll never forget. What did he do? He planted a seed in their heart and God made it grow. Unbelievable. Years ago, I had this thought and I might have to do it again, but I told parents here, I said, some of you have never blessed your kids. You never prayed a prayer of blessing over your kids. So join me at the ranch today. Bring your kids with you. They could be anywhere from 8 years old up. And dad, you can bring them, or mom, or whatever. And so we met up there, and I had all kinds of parents with kids. But I asked them after the service, I said, I want you to go home all day today and think about what kind of prayer, a blessing you want to pray over these kids. And so I stood back and watched, and I saw all kinds of kids from 8 and 12, 15, some of them 18, just bawling as their dad stood there and said, Father God, you gave me this baby. We didn't expect this baby, but you gave me a verse and said, this baby's coming and they're special. And they said all these things and planted all these seeds in these kids' hearts. And the kids were just crying. We need to be speaking blessings over our children. Yeah. Luke 8:11. says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Great painter Benjamin West said that one day while his mom was gone, he decided to draw a picture of his sister. He went and got the ink bottles out and he made a total mess, he said, out of everything, but he drew this picture of his sister. And when his mom came home, he said, she walked in, looked at it and said, what an absolutely gorgeous picture. And she kissed him. Later on in life, he said, that kiss made me a painter. Yes, it did. Now, people in the world that don't walk with God, they can still say impacting things to their children. They can still say impacting things to their friends. But the difference is ours are spiritual. When we say these impacting things, God is in those. And he makes them grow. And he makes them stick in their mind and in their heart. So it's a big difference of what they do and what we do. Now, Isaiah 55, 11 says, so will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. Now, God's always having words come from his mouth, but he's directing them through us. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing, or that word means creating or making what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Now, let me leave you with these three very basic observations about planting seeds. Number one is, not all seeds grow into fruitful harvest. That's why in the parable of the sower, you know, a lot of seeds were planted, but only like 25% of them turned into a fruitful harvest. Some were planted on the pathway, the hard path. Some were planted on a shallow soil. Some were planted in soil that had a lot of weeds in it. But 25% were planted on rich, pure soil. 2 Corinthians 9 and 6 says, this I say to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. See, that's why we're supposed to go around throwing seed out all the time, knowing some of it's going to take, some of it isn't. Just throw the seed out and leave it with God. I told you when I go in the gym, I've done this two or three times, I'll see people, and like I told you, I saw somebody at Stairmaster one day, and I go, you. I'm praying for you, man. And that's all I said, and I went my way. I stop people sometimes in the marketplace, wherever, and I'll say, you know what? God still has a calling for you. He still does. Don't run from it. I'll say what's ever on my heart. I'm just throwing seeds out all over. Hey, you know what? God told me, I don't want to embarrass you, but Dr. Kobe give you this $40. I don't know why, but God told me to do it. I see people all the time, and the first thing I ask them, like in the gym, I think I prayed with four different people or five last week, and in the marketplace at Walmart, I pray with people, and I always ask them, will I embarrass you if I pray for you right now? And so I'm going around giving out prayers and words, just throwing this seed all over the place, knowing that not all of it's going to come to fruition, but some is. Number two, never underestimate the power of a seed. Galatians 26, 12 through 13, it says, now Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very, very wealthy. Pastor Rod wrote me today, he heard my sermon, he says, you can count the seeds in an apple, but you can't count the apples in a seed. See, I told you I bought back my old house I owned 18, 20 years ago. And it's amazing because the redwoods were like 30 foot tall or 20, or not very tall when I bought it. I planted a bunch of stuff, did all this stuff. And I've gone back now and like the redwoods are 60, 80 foot tall. All the stuff we planted is huge. And it looks like a park, a garden. And it's just a mind-boggling, beautiful, beautiful place. But it wasn't like that when we left. We planted the seeds and over years, they blossomed, they got big. Let me remind you of a story that I told not too long ago, but the only reason I'm telling it again is because school's starting, and I pray every teacher will hear this. A teacher one day went to school, and she had this brainstorm of an idea. She told all of her students, says, I want you to write out the name of every student in this class and leave a space under their name. Now, after you've done that, I want you to go back and think of something really nice to say to them. What's the nicest thing you could say to that student? Write it out. She collected the papers. She took them home on Saturday. And then she took each student's name, wrote on a separate piece of paper, and wrote everything that the students said about them, the nice things. Went back, gave it to each student. She said, you could hear a pin drop when he gave it to them. They were just like, you know, and she was hearing like kids going, wow, I didn't know that. That's cool. And you could hear all these little murmurs and stuff as they read all these nice things that the other students said about them. She was planting seeds. Later on, one of the students died in Vietnam, and she was at his funeral, and she was at the reception hall afterwards, and the dad came up, and he says, are you Miss So-and-so? Yeah. He took a piece of paper out. It was all folded and been refolded, had tape on it. He said, I found this in my son's wallet. It meant a lot to him. You can tell how many times this had been opened. And I was told it was something you did in your classroom, and it says all the nice things other kids thought about my son. He says, thank you so much. That means a lot. And so then she has had other students around her, and they all said, I still have mine. My wife had me put mine in our wedding album. I have mine in my top drawer at home. I have mine in my pocket right here, my wallet. Look at this. That's planting seeds. We can change people's lives when we plant seeds. And the third one and the last one is God gives us the seeds that we are to plant. They come from Him. He gives them. See, don't try to figure it out. You never know what it means to them. Again, this lady that went to lunch with us in Texas, leader's wife, I had no clue that this lady was dying on the inside. And I'm sitting there going, man, you are like the best thing that's ever happened to this leader here. And I'm telling you, man, you are like the coolest lady because I told my wife about you. Da, da, da. I didn't know. I was just regurgitating what was in my heart. And God gave me that. I'm going to show you a quick video, and then I'm going to come back and just say 10 seconds and we're out of here. But take a look at this video.
Shoulder taps. So Tony and I are having lunch at California Pizza Kitchen the other day, and across from us, I noticed this elderly woman sit down. She's dressed nicely, and she's at a large table by herself for about 5 minutes, and then what appears to be her daughter shows up, and I don't recall, two or three grandkids, and they all look spectacular, ready for a nice meal, obviously. And at about that time, a voice in my head starts saying, you need to go tell her how pretty she looks. So I don't even know if we're eating at this point or not, but the food arrives, check arrives, we're going to go down the walkway a little bit in this strip center and look for something, and that's the next thing that we're going to move to. So Tony stands up, I don't tell her any of this, and on my way out, I just kneel down and kind of get into this position where I'm at her level, right where she's now in her chair, and I said, hey, if nobody else has told you yet today, I just want you to hear from me how lovely you are. And she looks at me with a look I've never seen before and says, I know you. And I said, no, we don't know each other. And she said, I know your spirit. And it gets really quiet between us. And she says, my husband died a year ago. And that's something he would have said to me. And at that moment, I can't talk. I'm overcome by emotion. And I just hug her and smile at her through tears. And I leave. But here's what I know, and here's the reason I'm telling you this. I believe that God taps us on the shoulders and uses us at just the right moment. And what I know for sure is that she was blessed and I was enormously blessed. So I've learned in my life to listen to these shoulder taps because they do happen. And I believe the more that we listen to them, the more in alignment we are with God. And that's an awesome place to be. Shoulder taps.
God's tapping me on the shoulder today. Remember again, when God speaks, it won't blindside you. You've looked around a lot of churches. You belong here. You belong here. I don't know who this is for, but you need to have another baby. You need to have another baby. Yes. Yes. Your spouse is right. You do. You're special. You're forgiven. God has big things for you. Go around casting seed. Here's $20. Go to lunch on me. When you have extra, give seed. And the marvelous thing is, whatever you cast out comes back to you in bountiful measures. It's the snowball rolling down the hill. That's all I have to say today. That's it. If you need salvation, go home and get your bathroom and ask Jesus to come into your heart. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our Lord.